Okay, we're going to turn off the, or start off in Genesis, the 25th chapter.
We want to stop in this Bible.
All right.
That's okay.
25th chapter, the book called Genesis or Barashith. The Hebrew name for this book is In the Beginning. Isn't that neat? Seven through eight. Graham, would you like a Bible so you could read?
Huh?
Would you like a Bible?
Yes, ma'am.
No, I'm fine. I'm just going to listen.
Okay.
It's much easier for me to listen as to try to read.
Okay.
I'll just listen. Speak up. Speak nice.
Well, that's good. As long as I get to hear your voice on here, it's great.
Don't talk too fast.
Slow. That's actually really good advice for me. I have a tendency to start talking
too fast. So slow down.
The 25th chapter, verse 7 and 8. Now these are the days of the years of the life of Abraham, or Abraham. Ab means father. Okay, so Abraham, which means father of a multitude, which he lived 175 years. He was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Can you imagine a 100-year-old man changing dirty diapers for the first time?
No.
Possibly. It was his own kids, anyways. A 100-year-old man wrestling. 100-year-old man spanking his kid, putting him in timeout. 100-year-old man coming home from work and there's crayons all over. What in the world? I'm 100 years old. Isn't that neat? And the name of his son was Laughter. Everybody heard, well, how wonderful is that? But he's 175 years old. Verse 8, so Abraham breathed his last and died in a fine old age, old and satisfied. Now, what's neat is the, we're going to look at the Hebrew word here, in a fine old age. And so most translations, they don't translate it like that. This word, this Hebrew word for full, or it says fine old age, so King James will say a full age. It is the Hebrew word shabaah, like apple, shabaah. This adjective is used 10 times in the Old Testament. In each case, it conveys the idea of being full and satisfied. How would you like, at the end of this life, to be able to check the last box? Full, satisfied, this is not the end of everything. Now I'm going to go to sleep. Christ is going to come back, and then the next life is going to begin. But wouldn't that be nice at the end of this life, say, I've achieved everything I wanted to. Not regrets, not loss, not a sense of panic. Being abandoned, here it is, full and satisfied. Abraham was a father of our faith. And he gave more than anybody before his time. And look at him going, golly. And what did he receive in return? He went to sleep in a fine old age, full and satisfied. Abraham dies being old and full. Proverbs 27:7 speaks of a person full of food. So you can imagine, want another bite? Nope! That's all I got. That's all I need, right? So that's the same word, full. And while Job 10:15, this is the same Hebrew word, shows full being full of confusion. So there could be, but in this case, fine old age, old and satisfied. Going to go, man. What's neat is that many people would love to be telling the story of their life, but Pharaoh is a laughingstock. All of his treasures that he stored up in his temples, where's his treasures now? He's in a museum. He's dust, and people go, oh, look at the guy! And where's all his money? It's been distributed and stuff like that. And you're going to go, man, but Abraham, the fine old age. Now we'll turn to 2 Chronicles 29. We're going to look at another guy. And it is either the same Hebrew word or it is a very similar one. Strong's Concordance says it's different. A couple other translations, like the Blue Letter Bible says this word we're getting ready to look at is the same. So they're very close, if not the same. There's a little discrepancy between Strong's and the Blue Letter Bible. But that specific word, Shavaeh, is not necessarily the teaching.
Strong's what?
Second Chronicles 29.
460.
Yeah, it'll be 437, I think.
No, 460.
That's chapter 29.
I'm sorry, what chapter?
29.
460. Okay, I apologize. It is page 437, it is First Chronicles. I didn't say second, but it's first.
Well, that's still 2 Chronicles.
What's neat with Abraham, just Andy. Turn to page 437.
Andy, don't do that. Let her do it. So, that's how she learns.
I gave her wrong page.
What?
But you can imagine, Yahweh did not tell Abraham before the calling, this will be the reward of your obedience. But that's what he got. So it's here. So it's neat. And here's another man. Verse 28. Elijah, would you read... chapter 29, verse 28. And this is about King David.
The top of 437. Okay. And he died in a good old age, satisfied with days, riches, and honor.
Okay,
and
you can imagine. And Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead. What if the last day before you took your last breath, you knew, not just you knew or you felt, but somebody says, You died in a good old age, satisfied with days, riches, and honor. Does a life get any better than that?
No.
But think about it. You're going, man. Well, this is King David. How old was King David? We'll turn to 2 Samuel to find out how old was he. Because we know Abraham was 175 when he went to sleep, or he died.
Which one? 2 Samuel. What?
2 Samuel? It's 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter.
How old was Abraham?
175 years old.
This was an old
survival. It still was old because he was. So you have to understand, he was 100 years old, and he was beyond. To have a baby was impossible.
He didn't have the baby.
I mean, that's Grandma Mary's not 100 years old. You're younger than that. Abraham had a decade on you.
Not having no babies all day.
Well, you can imagine. You'd be like Sarah. Actually, you'd be like Sarah. Grandma Mary gets pregnant. You'd be like. All right. Okay.
Well, Sarah laughed.
Yeah, we got to start exercising. I guess they're chasing little toddlers around pretty soon. You can imagine how wonderful is that. But
that would be terrible.
Page 3.
Grandma,
turn to
326.
Second Samuel, what, Aaron?
5. What page?
326.
Hey there. You're running right over here, okay? How old was David when he went in his full, or his good old age, excuse me, in his good old age? Chapter 5, verse 4. Melania, would you read that, please? 5, verse 4 and 5. So, verse 4 and 5.
So then the elders of...
Verse 4.
What?
Verse 4.
To the middle, honey.
Show him. 3 years old was David when he began to regain. Rend. 40 years. He reigned in
Hebron.
Regained Yodia. 7 years and 6 months from Jerusalem, regained he 33 years old. Over all Israel and Judah.
So it's reigned. So he reigned. So he was ruling. So right here, 40 years plus 30 years is 70 years. He was 70 years old in a good old age. Abraham was 100 years older than him in a good old age.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? I'm going to say, Abraham had another 100 years more than David, but both of them went to sleep in a good old age. And who's telling their story? The creator of the universe, their best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so, who knows at what age or time that would be a good old age for us? What is a good old age? 90? 105? 170? At what point do you know that you will actually achieve satisfaction? And the neat thing is, as we grow up, is that children, they think they know how they're going to get satisfaction, and we laugh at them. No, ice cream is not going to give you satisfaction. But then the same things happen to us. All I got to do is buy this new house. Once I get this new house, I'll be satisfied. Or once I get a girlfriend, then I'll be satisfied. Or once I get a Jeep, I'll be satisfied. Or once I mount a buck on my wall, I'll be satisfied. Then we get it. Then what happens 2-3 weeks later? I need another thing to get satisfied. So we learn that we do not necessarily know what satisfaction is, do we? Although a lot of people will tell us what satisfaction is. I'm going to say, so at what age is it? Is satisfaction going to be achieved? Through the word, we'll see that one age is 175 years, the other was 70. Do you think that people who commit suicide, it means they kill themselves, or overdose on drugs, are satisfied?
No.
People that commit suicide, do you think that they kill themselves because they're so satisfied with life?
Yes,
satisfied. You say. So now we're going to point out a couple examples of what would appear to be satisfaction. So a lot of times what we would think what satisfaction would be is possibly accomplishments. If I accomplish something a lot, specifically men, we're so goring. All I got to do is do this, and I get this. And the first time I do this and this, and here this is. But let's look at some things that would be an apparent, you would think that you'd be very satisfied. How about Michael Jackson? Did he accomplish a lot?
According to the world.
According to the world, he did. Okay. Should he still be alive?
Yes.
Yeah, he should still be alive. What man that was born the same year would change places with Michael Jackson right now?
Nobody.
You could be dead, and he'll be resurrected, and you get all this glory, but you're dead. How about Elvis Presley? Did he accomplish a lot?
Yeah.
He sure did. And a lot of times when we're growing up, all we got to do is be rich and famous, have everything I want, and then what happens? We'll see. Both of these guys, they did overdose. They committed suicide. They killed themselves prematurely. And so the world, our media that is telling us, they're teaching us what satisfaction is. The world is teaching us what we need to do. The world teaches us what we must accomplish to be somebody. You want to really be somebody? Cut your hair this way. Wear your clothes this way. Eat like this. Drive like this. Buy this thing. And then you'll be satisfied. But Michael Jackson and Elvis Presley, you guys don't know who these guys are, you would think that they'd be the most satisfied people in the world. How about Marilyn Monroe?
No.
Did she accomplish a lot?
No.
Yeah, there is monuments to these three people everywhere. Do you think she was satisfied when she overdosed?
No.
You're going to say, actually, if you looked at any biographies on these people, when they overdosed, it was not the first time that they came close to doing these things. It was a lifestyle. They didn't care about their lives anymore. And so when they did get snuffed out, it wasn't a big surprise to anybody. You'd say, golly, well, they died premature lives. And actually, David looked like it was a premature death if you compared it to Abraham. It's 100 years earlier, but Yahweh says it's full of age. Here's another one of a life that we would think would be very satisfied would be Robin Williams. Anybody ever seen Jumanji?
Yeah.
God, what a great... I mean, this guy's hilarious. You watch him as an actor, and he is alive. He looks like the most edified, fun, exciting person. He was one of my favorite actors, specifically like Jumanji. It looked like you'd love to be with this guy or be around him. I wanted to be this guy. And then he commits suicide. Do you think he committed suicide because he was satisfied?
No.
Do you think he goes, this is the best it's going to get. I'm so thankful for my life. It's a good old age. Now, the media will tell us that. I'm going to say, what is satisfaction? How did David and Abraham achieve this satisfaction? How did they become full? To go to sleep. To go, that's it. I'm satisfied. I've achieved everything I wanted. How did David and Abraham do it? Was it because they were listening to other people?
No.
How did they do it? Was it because they followed other people and their peers?
No.
No. Actually, they did just some very different things. They followed Yahweh. And a lot of times they were abandoned over and over again. Can you imagine King David?
Yeah.
What I... There's a giant here. He's 10 and a half feet tall. Okay. I kill a lion and a bear. What are you going to give me? That's what he said. He says, what am I going to get? Is it going to be profitable? You get to marry the king's daughter? Ooh, I get to marry a princess? You kidding me? All right. And then your dad will be, go without taxes? Are you kidding me? You know how happy my dad will be? I'm commanded to honor my mother and my father. Hey, let's get rid of income taxes for the next 60 years, mom and dad. I'll be son of the year. What happened to him? Did his dad get wiped, get a tax-free life? Not as far as we know. Did he get married to the princess? No, he didn't. And he was on the run for the first 14 years of his ministry. Does that look like it was satisfying?
No.
It didn't look like it, but we know that it was. Obedience. All of us have a war inside of us. We have, like the cartoons we even do, they have an angel and a devil on his shoulder. The bad devil told me to do this, and the good devil or the angel says this. And actually, it's not a devil or an angel. Yahweh's word says that there's a war going on inside of us. There's the old man, there's the new man. And it says you want to know which man's going to win this fight today? It's the one you feed. Because if you never read the word, if you're never in the word, if you're not listening to things, guess what happens? The bad guy wins. And neither of them will actually be. And the neat thing, the wonderful thing is, now we have salvation by grace. Is that Christians, we can't get rid of the good guy. And actually, when I was a kid, I wanted to get rid of it. I called him guilt. I don't want guilt anymore. I don't want it. I don't want it. I want to be bad. I want to be like those guys. They don't have any guilt. They're enjoying their sin. I go home going, oh boy, I couldn't sleep at night. That was great. What I was learning is that there was the new man inside me was going, come on, Aaron. And it was just as if my father, my earthly father, my earthly mother was watching me. Felt guilty. I'm going, man, there's an old man, there's a new man each day that we get to choose, and we get to choose who's going to win. And you want to know who's going to win is the one you're going to be feeding. And if you're not going to get into the word, the odds are the old man's going to win.
Yeah.
Now it's David and Abraham, since I'm using them as examples of what all of us would want. I mean, we know that getting a new house, getting a new car, getting married, having kids, all these things, it's temporary satisfaction. And I saw a guy, he was being interviewed. He was 115 years old, I think, or something like that on Facebook. And they said, the interviewer is like 18. That's the longest life ever. And the guy goes, don't blink. And to the young person, they go, what are you talking about? And the 115-year-old guy, I think he's from India or something, goes, don't blink. It's gone, just like that. And the younger person couldn't understand it. But he just said, life is just like that. So if we're going to accomplish one thing other than becoming saved, how would you like to know you're going to be satisfied? Fully satisfied, overflowing. How did David and Abraham, were they good examples? Actually, let me see here. David and Abraham are examples of those who obeyed Yahweh. Were they examples of those who listened to the old man or the new man? It'd be the new man. They did what was right. They had very similar words that we have. What about Michael Jackson and Elvis? Would they be examples of those who listened to the old man or the new man? The old man. Okay. Does your old man tell you that if you live a very, very long life, that you'll be satisfied? I don't know what you guys go through, but I watched Interview with a Vampire, and here's these vampires, they get to live forever, and like, they don't grow old. You gotta murder people. I stay good looking. And so it's a real diabolical thing, because you ever heard of the Fountain of Youth? Real important. The old man does not, he knows that his days are numbered. Dust you were, dust you'll be. And you say, the old man, then you think about it, it was named like Lord of the Rings. Here's the elves. They don't age. You're going to go, man, wouldn't that be neat?
Yeah.
Kind of. And you say, the old man, you would think they'd be very satisfied if we lived a very, very long life. So, if for just illustrative purposes, pick a number. What would be a satisfying life? If you knew, if somebody could promise you, I'll give you 180 years. I'll give you 250. I got 250 years? Man, I gotta get satisfied, right? You'd think so. I got a lot of room. Turn to Genesis 5:5. And what's really neat is that the book called Genesis is page 34 for the youngsters. Is that where Scripture is silent, let us remain silent. Our Father has given us the instruction manual to teach us everything. It's complete. And so when Yahweh specifically points something out, You have a comparison and a contrast. You look at these things. We know that Abraham and David specifically said they were full and satisfied. Now we're going to turn to Genesis 5:5. Rachel, would you read Genesis 5, verse 5?
So all the days of Adam, which he lived, were 930 years, and he died.
930 years. That's a long time. That's a real long time. You think he accomplished a lot? Now we'll turn to Genesis 6, verse 3. And this is based off an E.W. Bullinger study. Verse 3, and Yahweh said, my Ruah shall not rule, the Spirit is Ruah, shall not rule in a man to time's age abiding, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be numbered in 20 years, 120 years. And so this word a man is Adam. And so E.W. Bullinger believes this is not man because Abraham lived to be 170. A lot of people live to be over 120 years. And some people go, oh, so man is supposed to live 120 years? You go, wait a minute. No, you can't reconcile all these clear verses to this one one. What is he explaining right here? The Hebrew word for amen is Adam, Adam. And if you look at it, Yahweh numbered Adam's, he said Adam's going to live, and he gave him another 120 years. So that's what E.W. Bullinger, how he explains his 120. How he reconciles it to the word. So it was. So according to the scriptures, Adam lived 930 years. At 810, Yahweh says, "That's it. You got 120. Wrap your things up." Does it say that he was satisfied?
No.
A day with Yahweh is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. Adam's life was a vapor, just like that. Was he satisfied? You kidding me? This guy had 10 decades and he didn't get satisfied? He inherited. He was the most wealthy man on the planet. He owned all the gold. He owned everything. All these grandkids. All these things. And Yahweh did not say he was satisfied. But he did say David, who died at 70, was satisfied. Isn't that interesting? Abraham was satisfied at 175 years old. David at 70 years. Adam lived to be 930 years. And it does not say he was satisfied, nor does it say he was full. In fact, Scripture strongly suggests that just the opposite when Yahweh says you got 120 left. What's he going to say? It wasn't because Adam was so faithful to Yahweh. Yahweh extended his life another 120 years. He did that with Hezekiah. I think he gave him another 15 years because of his heart. It looks like he goes, hey, buddy, wrap things up. You got 120. So the question would be, do you want Michael Jackson, Robin Williams to be your illustration of how to become satisfied? We could. Or would we like to have Yahweh be the one that says we have a satisfied life? And how did David and Abraham do it? They did it by being obedient. It didn't make sense. He specifically says push through. It's not going to make sense. I'm going to ask you to do things that are going to require faith. Well, this doesn't make any kind of sense. Yahweh says, I don't need smart people. I don't need wise people. I don't need Albert Einstein. I'm the creator of the universe. That's like an ant coming up to me and arguing, I want to have a debate. I'm not going to argue with you, ant. Here's an ant. I want you to... Here's a great thing. Here's a Galaxy 5. And here an ant goes, if you're really superior to me, Aaron... explain how this phone works. You want me to explain how a smartphone, a Galaxy 5, to an ant? You want me to reconcile all this information to an ant, his little bitty brain? Yes, if you really are God, you can do it. No, I'm not going to do it. He doesn't need it. Sometimes people are doing that with Yahweh, saying, if you're really this, explain these things. I'm not going to do that. But he doesn't need smart people. What he needs is heart. He needs people that say, I want to be with you. I know that you are satisfaction. And so when we don't understand when he's calling us in a direction, and we go, this looks tough. Man, I don't know if I want to do this. Ask yourself, do you want to be satisfied? If you eat a candy bar, does that satisfy the candy bar taste? Or do you need another one a day later? Wait a minute. If it, yeah, if you're gonna say that's not satisfaction. It's a type of satisfaction, but it's going. Is that what we really want? This temporary thing? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, page 178 in the New Testament. So this is so neat with Melania's teaching. If you can't understand Yahweh's plans for you, first thing is He's going to ask you to do something that requires faith. So each day when you get up, you're going to, I want to be obedient to you. I want to be more obedient. Just don't ask me anything that requires faith, please. Actually, He's going to ask you to do things that require faith.
Corinthians 15,
1 Corinthians. Thank you, Eli. 178. That's 87.
15
verse what? I'll tell you, it's going to be verse 16 just a second. So Yahweh teaches His kids. He understands things. And I saw a neat teaching recently, or movie, with my mom and my dad. Here's a father trying to explain premature death to his daughter. And I don't necessarily recommend what he was teaching in the movie. But there was a neat concept. And the father says, you know that I love you very much. And here's a teenage daughter. She goes, yes, I know you love me. He goes, you know that you ask me for things all the time. And I would love to give you everything because of my affection towards you. But you know that I can't, right? She says, yeah. He goes, our Heavenly Father, He desires so many wonderful things for us. But some of the stuff we're asking is going to destroy us. Some of the times we are asking for things that make us independent of Him. All I want is $2 million. Why? Well, then I don't have to worry about bills. You mean you won't need me? Can you imagine a wife coming to a husband going, all I want is this. And then the husband goes, wait a minute. You want me to give you something that makes me obsolete? I don't understand that. I do that. That's the old man inside of us. He goes, I just want you to give me something so I can just leave you and never be back. He's not going to do it. Why? Why is He not going to do that? He loved us so much, He gave us His only begotten Son. And so He's not going to give us those things. Verse 16 through 20. Israel, would you read that?
For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ hath been raised. And if Christ hath not been raised, to no purpose is your faith. Yet are ye in your sins. Hence also, they who are fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Excuse me. If in this life, in Christ, we have hoped in all that is all, we are, of all men, most to be pitied. But now hath Christ been raised from among the dead, the first fruit of them who have fallen asleep.
And 21.
For since indeed through a man came death, through a man also cometh the raising of the dead.
And 22. For just as in Adam, all die, so also in Mashiach, Christ, shall all be made alive. There's the word is about Yahweh. And then it's about the first Adam that sold us into slavery. And the second Adam, the seed of the woman, that's coming back to reconcile everything. To get us back to the Garden of Eden. That's the two wars that's going on inside of us. We have an old man, Adam. And then we have the new man, which is Christ inside of us. And it says that the first Adam, because of him, all of us die. So when we look at dead animals, we go, that is not right. When we see somebody go to sleep or die prematurely, we look at this and go, who's at fault here? Adam. It's his fault. You want somebody to point your finger at it? Adam and Eve sold us into slavery. They brought this stuff in. Had they not chose that, then there wouldn't be here. And Christ wouldn't have to come. Now, not to put them down and exalt myself, I probably would have made the same mistake as Adam. But if you want to know why there is death and premature death, it's because of Adam. But Christ came back. Christ came so that there would be life and there would be the raising from among the dead. It's the word agairo, an awakening. The first Adam is comparison and contrast because we have both of them living inside us. You want to know who's going to win today? When I bodybuild and I train people and I say, if you're serious, if you don't eat, you're going to shrivel up. You got to eat. You want to know which one is going to get bigger each day inside of you? The one you feed. How do you feed the new man? With the word. How do you feed the old man? With garbage. With saying nasty things, not honoring your mother and your father. Well, my mom got honorable. He didn't say that. You could justify it. You honor her no matter what. Now point at me. He said, you honor her no matter what. Say it to me.
You honor her no matter what.
Yes. Amen. And it's a commandment. Honor your mother and father. Well, what if they're jerks? Do it. Yes. And so that is the new man. The new man says faith comes by hearing. I don't feel like doing. When you feel like doing, guess who's talking? The old man, Adam. That guy, how long did he live? 930 years. Was he satisfied?
No.
No. So you could take his advice, and you could die prematurely. I could die prematurely. Or we could even live 930 years. Like, wow, that sounds great. Not if it's an unfulfilling life. If it's an unsatisfying life, if you can't quench the thirst, that could actually be like torment. Mm-hmm. Watching everybody go to sleep, everybody dying, I can't get satisfied. That's the feeling side. So feed the new man. Faith comes by hearing the spoken words of Christ. How long these two Adams, one lived 930. We would think, because you can imagine, if this was not about Scripture, let's just say we're at a big conference. We have two elixirs. One elixir, this guy lived 930 years. The other elixir, not quite as much. His name's Mashiach Yehoshua, or Jesus Christ. How long did he live? Turn to Luke 3:26. Because according to the world standard, according to CNN, according to ABC and all the liberal media, according to MTV, People Magazine, Cosmopolitan, all the garbage that's out there, Sports Illustrated.
Luke what?
Who won? Adam lived 930 years. You're like, that's a no-brainer. 930 years, drink that elixir. But if it's 930 years of unsatisfaction, that could be torment.
Yeah.
Now Yehoshua Mashiach, page 326. Now, here's a loaded question. How long did Yehoshua live?
Anybody? 30 years.
30 years. Okay, we have one answer, 30 years. Would somebody read chapter 3, verse 26, the Gospel called Luke?
Math? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's the genealogy.
Wow. Okay, verse 23, I'll read it. Chapter 3, verse 26, under the genealogy. And this is actually the genealogy of Joseph, the stepfather. So the genealogy of Jesus, that was added. But here it is. And Yehoshua himself, Jesus himself, was when he began about 30. It's a trick question. He was 30. No, he wasn't. It said he was about. About's about. It didn't even say he made 30 years. One guy lasted 930 years. One guy, right about 30. Who achieved satisfaction? Are you kidding me? Look what happened to Yehoshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ. He got beat, he got tore, he got spit on, he got stoned. Who had the most satisfying life? Right. Now, even if, you can imagine, even if the first Adam, what if he did, he was obedient. What if the first Adam's going to be in the new heaven and new earth? I don't know. The Scripture doesn't necessarily say that. We know Abraham's going to be there. We know David did because of how the story ended. The first Adam doesn't necessarily say. There's two Adams going to be in paradise. Who do you think is going to be in charge? The one that lived 930, the one that lived 30?
30.
Who lived the more satisfying life on this earth? The 930 or the 30? The 30. How did he squeezed not over 930 years into 30 years. And then he's going to be rewarded for that. You're going to go, golly, now we have the same thing inside of us. So what we're supposed to be doing is reconciling your feelings to these two atoms. Because we have these feelings going, I want to live long. I want satisfaction. And then we got to go back and go, wait a minute. There's only one ingredient to satisfaction. There's only one person that actually knows satisfaction. And it's not... what's neat is... do you think Michael Jackson's counselors told him when in the beginning, if you do all this, you're going to die prematurely, alone, drug overdose. Sign up! Do you think that's how they got him to go into pop? How about Elvis Presley? Do you think his counselors were telling him, if you just do this, you'll die alone on a toilet somewhere? At least that's the alone on a toilet. Unless I don't know if that's true, but that's the rumor. That's how this guy ended.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what was being the sales pitch he had going into it? No. How about Robin Williams? Who's seen Mork and Mindy? Wow. Golly, do you think when he, at the beginning, all his counselors through these years were going, just do this, and you'll commit suicide. It'll be perfect. You'll be so... Whoa. What was that middle part? I'm going to be so satisfied, I'm going to kill myself? Nah, I think I'll pass. Because we look at that, and sometimes the media will go, oh, they had such a satisfying life. They died at 65 years old like Robin Williams. And you go, would you change places with him? I know people that live on the streets in Kenya that wouldn't trade places with Robin Williams. He's dead. He's got a legacy. He's not enjoying it. Who would trade places with him? So we go reconcile these things. And go, man. Every one of the count of those counselors of them and us can only speculate what satisfaction is. It's only a guess. It's all speculative. Even in investments, I manage assets. What's going to happen in the future? Speculation. Well, we were in these funds and it did this. Hindsight's 20/20. Let's just go to Las Vegas. They flipped that card. Why didn't we win? You're going to say no, speculation. All these counselors, do they when, and if the counselor's your flesh, your feelings, or if it's your friends, if it's my friends or my counselors tell me, well, do they know the future? No. So they're guessing. Right. All the counselors of Pharaoh were guessing. All the counselors of Robin Williams, Marilyn Monroe, Michael Jackson were guessing. If you're going to entrust somebody, not with an IRA, not with a house, not with a life savings, but you're their most valuable asset. What is your most valuable asset? Your life. If somebody takes your life, what does it matter if you're wealthy?
Yeah.
So you say if you're going to entrust your most valuable asset to somebody, entrust it to the one who knows the future. Yeah. Not to speculators. Because all of us know, we're going to say, well, wait a minute, let's just take a look at track records. Did these feelings ever tell you all you needed, Aaron, was you needed to make this amount of money or sell this? Yeah. How'd you feel 6 months later? I had buyer's remorse. I got payments. Yeah. Did your feelings tell you to just swipe that on the credit card? Yes. I felt great at first. What happened 9 months later? Interest rate. Revolving debt. Oh. You're going to say, okay. So what the idea and the concept is, if we can reconcile our two feelings, our two atoms, and say, who is satisfaction? Go back to the scripture. And how do we achieve that satisfaction like Abraham or like David did? Is what we do is we give our life daily to him who knows the future. And it's not just by being a good moral person, because Peter was confronted by Jesus Christ and said, Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. Then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? And he confronted him three times in front of everybody. Was Peter drunk at a brothel?
No.
Was he persecuting people like Saul?
No.
No. He was not being obedient. He was possibly being obedient to the Levitical law, the moral law. Was he being obedient to his calling? So it's not just being, I'm okay. The idea is to be obedient daily with the calling you have. And how do you know what that calling is? It's by fellowship. 1 John 1. If we say we have fellowship with him and we live in darkness, we're a liar. So we go to him with fellowship daily and to say, I want satisfaction. He goes, man, I've been waiting for you to come to me for satisfaction. Can you imagine that? Here's a father and a mother with the kids, and here's a teenager kid. Mom, Dad, you just don't know me. These people know satisfaction. And then they get used and abused and come back to Mom and Dad, and they go, would you just come to me for satisfaction? I'm not going to use you. And then later on we learn, hey, Mom and Dad were right. And so what we do is give your life daily to him who knows the future and he knows satisfaction. And then one day, hopefully, that we will be, if Christ doesn't come back, we'll be able to say, We have a long life. It doesn't have to be 170 years. It could be 70 years. It could be 30 years. The objective isn't necessarily long life. The objective is obedience and fellowship with him, and then we will have a satisfied life. Okay. Well, we thank you, Father, for the words. We thank you for all the believers here. I thank you for Telos Ministries and for the... I just think what a wonderful privilege it is to get to share your word in front of these people that I love so much. Specifically, Rachel and Billy are here in town from such a long ways away. And Rachel's birthday, we love her and Billy so much. And for our grandma, Mary being here and Holly being here so much. These things are such a privilege. I thank you that the new man lives in each one of us and he testifies. And I thank you for us reconciling ourselves to your word daily. and feeding the new man so we can be full of satisfaction for you. And to be, it says, your word says that he died for us so that we would live for him. We thank you for these things and for the words we're buried here. My sons and my daughters, know that I am your father and I have wonderful plans for you. Plans that are better than you could ever imagine. And you don't understand them, nor can you understand them. For the plans that I have planned before you are plans that are going to require you holding my hand. Otherwise, it will not be accomplished. I do not ask you to do anything that you cannot do. Although the old man is inside you and he says, impossible, impossible. And remember that he is a liar. He did not die for you. Actually, he kills you every single day because the wages of sin is death, whether in part or in full. And when you submit to that old man, you kill yourself a little bit at a time. I ask you to take my hand. Take my hand. And remember, I do not ask you to do anything that you cannot do. You can do all things through him who empowers you. Come with me on this adventure and you will live a satisfied life and you will have no regrets. Because who can promise you and guarantee you a life with no regrets? I will give you a future and at the end of your life you'll be able to look back and say nobody could have planned anything better than him who knows the future. Amen.